For those of you who don't know me, my name is John Fortune. I do know some families here. I know the Jamesons, I know the Saldanas, I know some folks. My dad used to pastor at a church called Grace Community Church in Port Coquitlam. And so, yes, I am a pastor's kid. And I'm here. Isn't that amazing? I'm here preaching. That's crazy. That's the crazy part. It's my pleasure to speak to you today. I was very excited to come a little bit down the hill and worship with my church family. I'm currently pastoring with Coquitlam Alliance Church. I lead our community groups ministry. And so that's my full-time job. I hang out with group leaders all day, and we talk about what it's like to disciple people. And so this is my life. This is what we do. And so I'm very grateful to come speak to you today. I want to ask you something. I don't want this to sound too tongue-in-cheek, and definitely by no means am I intending disrespect to the person who preached last week. But let me ask you something. Do you remember what was preached last week? Do you remember what was preached last week? Do you remember what the speaker talked about? Maybe you do. Maybe you do. That would be rare. Why is that? Why is it that it's hard to even remember what the sermon was last week? I give 52 of my weeks, 52 of my days to coming out to listening to sermons, and I oftentimes can't even remember, if I'm honest with myself, most weeks, I can't even remember what was preached last week. Is preaching in vain? Is what I'm doing in vain? No, it's not, and we'll get to that. But really, this has to do with learning theory. It has to do with anthropology. It has to do with what makes us human. So it's the focus of my message today. What is it about us? Why can't we just hear a sermon and then live it out? Why can't we just hear a sermon and then live it out? Why does it take so long and so many sermons? If you were to sit in church for 20 years, 50 weeks out of the year, you only miss two because you're on vacation. You listen to 1,000 sermons. Why then do you start to experience change? Why does it take so long for the word to get into my heart? Why can't we just take what Jesus said and live it out? Well, there is a parallel here, and many of you have tried this fad called keto. It is not enough to understand what going keto is. It's not enough to understand what a ketogenic state or a ketotonic state is in your body where you are in fat-burning mode. You actually have to stop eating carbs. You actually have to do the work of devoting yourself to a diet, to a plan. You actually have to work hard. It's not merely enough to understand the truth about something, but you have to enact it. You have to embody the gospel. I would argue that's probably why we don't remember what was preached. When Jesus gave a new law for life, he intended that we would... This is a pretty Christianese word, but he intended that we would abide in that way. In other words, when Jesus gave us a new law of life, the Sermon on the Mount and his teaching, he intended that we would practice his way. He intended that we would practice the way of Jesus. Jesus did not want us to merely understand the way, but instead practice it. So in the Second Testament or the New Testament, there's a tiny, tiny little book called James. We often forget it. It's a tiny little book called James, and it's named after its author. Perhaps you didn't know this. James is actually Jesus' little brother. Yeah, Jesus' half-brother. I wonder what that'd be like, hey? I have four brothers, so I wonder what it would be like being Jesus' brother. Somebody want to pray for dinner? James wants to pray this week. I don't think so, James. I think we're going to get Jesus to pray. Is that okay? Suffice it to say, James didn't believe until actually Jesus was crucified and resurrected. Then he became a believer and actually became James the Just, the leader of the early church, and authored the book of James. In the early first century, he wrote a letter, and I would characterize his letter unlike Paul's. It's not the same kind of writing. If you're familiar with Scripture and you read through Pauline letters like we do, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians. These are our favorite books. James is not writing to a church. It's more like a commonplace thing today would be a letter from the editor. Okay, so if the New York Times or whatever your favorite newspaper, the editor wrote a letter to all the general readers. This is kind of what James is doing for the Jewish Christians. In the early first century, he wrote a letter to Jewish Christians about practicing the way of Jesus. So I'd like to read from James 1, 19 to 27. If you have a Bible, would you turn with me to James chapter 1, 19 to 27? This is where you test your skills because it's impossible to find. And if you're able, would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? This may not be your tradition, but I want us to realize what we're doing here is sacred. We're reading the Word of God, and we're standing together as a family on the foundation of Scripture. This might not be your sacred text, but it is mine, and I invite you to hear the Word of God today. This is James chapter 1, verse 19 to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed when they do and what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of God. It's absolutely true, and it's given to us in love. So you say, thanks be to God. Amen. Please have your seats. I want to pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a sure foundation. Lord, I thank you for each one of my friends, brothers, and sisters today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal to them the truth of your word. Speak into their hearts. Speak wisdom to their life. Lord, I pray for those that are visiting with us today that you would bless them, that they would know that we're Christians by our love, that they would know that we care and that they're welcome here. God, I pray that you would bless our time today as we worship you and studying your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. In the same sentiment as the Apostle Paul, my hope for you is that you would become a mature Christian. You would grow to be a mature Christian, that you would be known to the neighbors on your street as the person who loves the most. How about that? That would be different. Many of us don't even know our neighbors' names, let alone do they know that we love the most. My hope for you is that you would be a mature Christian, that you would give so much money to the church. I don't work here. You would give so much money to the church that your accountant would say to you, hey, you don't have to do this. You're good. Your taxes are good. You don't have to give any more money. That it wouldn't make sense. That you are so discipled, you're so in love with the mission of God that you would give your very life to it. That you would be so gracious to your family members when they're not, that they would know that you are trusting in God. That's my hope for you, that you would be mature Christians. On the flip side, my worst nightmare would be that you would age in your faith and never grow. You would spend decades and decades in church and you would never grow. You would listen to 1,000 sermons and you would have no character. I want you to know that that doesn't have to be you. And if that is you today, if you feel like you've been in church for 20 years and you've done the same year for 20 years over, you're a one-year-old Christian. You can change today. You can begin to grow today. You can surrender your life to Jesus. He'll give you his power through the Spirit to change. I want you to know that it doesn't have to be you. You can change. You can do this. This is something we often forget, but this is really the meat and potatoes of our faith. We have the same Spirit. You and me, this is crazy to think about. You and me share the same Spirit that the Apostle Paul had. You and me share the same Spirit that the Apostles Peter had. And the like, we actually have the very Spirit of Christ, and we share in that Spirit. We can do this. By God's power and His help, we can do this. You have the very Spirit of Christ within you, and you can grow. And Jesus wants you to. In fact, by starting to think this way, you've actually begun already. You've begun already, but you must continue. You must continue. James shows us what it really means to accept the message of Jesus. What does it mean to accept the word planted in you? James's language in his writing there. What does it mean to accept the word planted into you? What does it mean to accept the message of Jesus? In other words, how do we accept the gospel? In verse 22, James gives us a little bit of a confusing word picture, but he's going to compare two people. He's going to compare the Christian forgetter with the Christian practitioner. So James is going to give us a word picture. He's going to compare two people. He's going to compare the Christian forgetter with the Christian practitioner. I want to read verse 22 for us again. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And then he talks about somebody who forgets. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently, take my glasses off, I'm like farsighted, looks intently into the law, the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So the difference is this: a Christian forgetter merely hears and then does nothing about it. A Christian forgetter merely hears and then does nothing about it. A Christian practitioner, I want to show us three things that they do. Number one, a Christian practitioner devotes themselves to what they've heard. They devote themselves. This is what accepting the gospel means. This is what accepting the word planted in you. This is accepting the message of Jesus. It means devoting yourself to what you have heard. Secondly, they continually remember what they have heard. Continually remember what they have heard. And thirdly, they take action. I want to read verse 25. This is the verse about the Christian practitioner. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, somebody that looks devotedly into the perfect law, this the perfect law speaking of Jesus' teaching, speaking of the new covenant, speaking specifically, I think, of the Sermon on the Mount. Whoever looks into the Sermon on the Mount that gives freedom and continues in it and remembers it continually, not forgetting what they've heard, but taking action, but doing it, they will be blessed. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law, not forgetting, but doing it. So accepting the gospel means three things. It means devoting yourself, remembering continually, and actually doing it. Oh man, that's hard. Actually doing it. Let's talk about devotion. Christian devotion has a rich, 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 rich history. When humanity captures a glimpse of the glory of God, Irenaeus said, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. When humanity captures a glimpse of the glory of God, we cannot help but love, and cherish what we've discovered. It's the same reason we love our little babies and we don't want them to grow up. We love this. The converted slave trader, John Newton, wrote many hymns, and in one of Amazing Grace, of course, but others as well. And one of them, I think he captures a devoted heart toward God. I want to read just one stanza for you. What does it mean to be devoted to Jesus? This is John Newton's words. Content with beholding his face, my all to his pleasure resigned. No changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. While blessed with a sense of his love, a palace, a toy would appear, and prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. John Newton had a devoted heart, and he shaped the church. He shaped how the church looks, and we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And we know these words, and we know these secondhand words of a man who had his heart devoted to Jesus. Accepting the gospel means devoting ourselves to it. Psalm 63 is a favorite here as well. But I want to say this, devotion is very personal. Okay, so the X factor in devotional is that it is personal. We can beg and borrow from the saints of old, and we can read the Valley of Vision, and we can read old hymns, and they'll start to bring this heart to life. But you need to do this for yourself. You need to devote your heart to Jesus. You need to take the time. You need to cut some things out. This is what it means to accept the message. We need to devote ourselves to God how he would have us do it. The Christian practitioner hears the word of God and devotes herself to it. They devote their life to the gospel. She is not a forgetter who hears the word merely, waits for the next good one. She's a devoted hearer. I would go so far to say, and this is this is not slighting anybody, and this is something I need to grow in as well, but taking notes. I mean, honestly, just whipping out my phone and taking notes, and it helps me remember, because we don't pick up everything we hear. Even people who say they're dialogical, we don't pick up everything we hear. We need to be writing things down. When we hear the word preached to us, we need to be remembering these things. The Christian practitioner hears the gospel and remembers it continually. Remembers it continually. Let me ask you this. What is the opposite of remember? Forget. We would say forget, right? This is something I learned from a prof of mine when I was on travel study in Turkey and Greece. But he would argue that the opposite of remembering is not the passive task of forgetting. In fact, the opposite of remembering is to dismember. To dismember. The opposite of remember is not to forget, is to dismember. So we must remember the works that God has done and put our whole person into doing so. We must, instead of pulling apart what God has done, we must remember, we must put back together in our hearts and our minds, remembering again through a whole body work what God has done in our lives. Let me help you with an example in my own life. Okay, so every morning I roll out of bed and I put on this necklace. And I'm a nerd, but in Koine Greek, it says, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And so I pray that prayer as I put that on. The first thing I do in the morning is I pray a prayer to God, and I remember who I am and whose I am. Remember who I am and whose I am. The next thing I do is I put on my wedding ring. And I try my best to remember Ephesians 5, and I say, Lord, help me to love my wife like you love the church. And I put on my watch, and I say, help me to use the time that I have today. And Lord, I don't have enough of it. Would you multiply my effort? Would you multiply my effort for your kingdom? And then I put on my glasses, and I say, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that understands. And by doing this in my life, and this is a silly example, a silly mini liturgy that I do for myself, but I want to encourage you to be creative and be devoted and come up with ways where you are going to take your faith beyond Sunday morning. Come up with ways where you're going to remember the gospel in your life. In Deuteronomy, it says to write it on the house doorposts. That he is God, that he's our God, right? It talks about putting it on your wrists and putting it on your neck. Now, I'm not arguing for the Talmud, but I'm just saying to encourage you to remember the gospel. What is it in your life that Jesus has done for you? Do you remember? We often forget. That's where Satan will deceive us. That's where Satan will lie to us about what God has done. This is what it means to remember. We take the gospel into our life and train our hearts. We train our hearts into his love. We put the nonsensical moral filth of the world, we put it off. We put on faith. We put on hope. And we put on love. I want to encourage you to do this. Find a way to do this. Make a ritual of your coffee in the morning. Instead of the back of the cereal box, make it a Bible. Start to bring Jesus into a moment and watch the change. This is what's amazing about James, is that he actually invites us into this and challenges us to watch the change. I'm telling you, as someone who has been changed by this. This is what it means to remember. We've got to put off the moral filth of the world and put on faith, hope, and love. The Christian forgetter, she stops with hearing. He stops with hearing. However, the Christian practitioner devotes their heart to God, remembers continually, and enacts their faith. Enacts their faith. They actually do it. Wow. What a novel idea. They actually do it. Can you imagine? We actually did our faith. I was having a visit with a friend, and he was complaining about the preacher at his church. And he was confiding in me partly. I asked him if I could tell people this. He said it was fine. He said he wished that the guy was just a little bit deeper. I just wish he was, deeper. I wish he was deeper. He was thinking of switching churches because he wanted to get fed with what he called meat. He called me. Can we talk about that? Okay. Let's recognize, well, the possibility remains that the preacher was having a rough season. That's possible, maybe even probable. It's ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous, to suggest that a sermon on Sunday once a week would be the main diet for the Christian life. Guys, we got to move beyond this. Our world is changing faster than we know. One sermon on Sunday ain't enough. If Christianity was like that, I would say the church would be a mess, wouldn't you? It's close to home, isn't it? I said to my friend in my best Shia LaBeouf voice, just do it. I'm just joking. What I said to him was, what if you just took one of his not-so-deep sermons and actually tried it? What did you just actually try? So there's like that five-minute portion at the end of every sermon where they give you some application. What if you actually did it? What if you actually tried? People, you got to hear me. Lackadaisical faith, where we merely hear the word, is what James calls a dead faith. That's a dead faith. You got to actually try it on. So then the Christian forgetter has a faith on Sunday sermon life support, while the Christian practitioner is thriving in practicing what they hear. The Christian practitioner thrives hearing the word, devoting their heart to it, remembering it continually, putting on faith, hope, and love, putting off the filth of the world, and actually enacting in the gospel, actually doing what they're being called to do. This is a hard word for us today. So how do we move forward? James is showing us a new way to think about being human. He's moving us away from such an emphasis on what we think and what we hear into a combination of the head, the heart, and the hands. He's moving us into an embodied gospel. He's arguing for a new way to be human, a new anthropology. I would say an Augustinian way in church tradition. To think about our faith as Augustine would. James is showing us that Christian growth doesn't just come from hearing the truth. Actually, he says later in this same book that even the demons know what the truth is. It's not just knowing it. It's not just believing it. What does it mean to truly accept? What does it mean to truly believe? Is it in the doing in Christianity that we grow? It's not merely thinking that gets us there. But hearing Jesus' words, believing them, and forming our lives around them, there's real work to be done here in your life. There is real work to be done. So much of our lives, and this is what we call it at my house, but silly nonsense worldly desires. So much of our life is just filled with silly nonsense worldly desires, and we fan these things into flame with habitual practice. I come home and I'm tired. So I sit on the couch and I binge Netflix. And these silly nonsense worldly desires become more entrenched, and we reinforce these desires. We reinforce these ways with habitual practice. Let me give you some examples. People won't admit this in church, but we love Game of Thrones. We love Game of Thrones. We love The Bachelor. We love Survivor. We love Real Housewives. I mean, who's watching these shows if it's not us? We love these things. We love going to the mall and consuming and being treated like we are the center. We love the movies where we see pictures of the good life that are more fantasiacal than reality. We fall in love with these men and these beautiful, beautiful men and women that are fasting before the movie. Fall in love and we start to compare, and these silly nonsense worldly desires become fanned into flame, and then we feel like we don't have enough. People, this is symptomatic. This is symptomatic of a church that merely hears. It's Christian forgetters. It's Christian forgetters. We're Christian forgetters, and we need to change. Half the room habitually watches pornography. This sexual immorality, what the Bible calls porneo, is deforming us. It's wrecking you. It's wrecking you. It changes the way that we see one another. It changes the way that we talk to one another. It changes the way we trust one another. The deep longing for our church to be comforted sexually is a symptom of a church that doesn't believe that God is actually good. Let me say that again. The deep longing for a church that wants to be comforted sexually is a symptom of a church that doesn't truly believe that God is good. We need to believe, again, that God is good. If you don't, you need to tell your soul again. You need to preach the gospel to yourself. You need to devote yourself to this message. You need to remember it continually, and you need to live it out. You got to do this, or you'll just become another Christian forgetter. We have to counter this. We need to put off the filthy practices of the world. We need to devote our hearts, remember the gospel, and enact our belief. We need to train our hearts to love what God loves. We need to train our hearts to love God's vision of the good life. What is God's vision of the good life? Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This is God's vision of the good life. We do this by listening to the word preached. People are going to come in here and preach faithfully every week. They're going to work hard to make sure that you hear the word of God. They're going to divide it rightly and make sure that you know what God is saying. But that's only half of it. It takes two. That's only half of it. Devoting ourselves to it, remembering it continually. Listen to me. If you're waist deep in addiction right now, whether it's substance, pornography, etc., you need to know that you are not too far gone. Speaking from experience, you need to know that you are not too far gone. Your heart can be renewed. Scripture says that God can take a heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. God can warm our hearts to the truth. God can show us again. He can give us new eyes to see. He can give us a heart that understands. He can show you the way. He's asking you to try it. He's asking you to just try it. The Spirit gives strength to overcome all sin. The Spirit gives strength. You're not going to do this out of your striving. If you're stuck there, it's because you've been striving, right? You're strong for a while and then you're weak. You're very weak and self-loathing. And you're strong for a while again, and then you're weak and self-loathing. The Spirit is the one who gives you the strength to do this. How are you going to do this if your faith isn't strong? You need to trust Jesus. You need to trust His Spirit that He's given you. Don't forget Don't forget this. You and me serve the same God that made the Jordan River stand up and the walls of Jericho fall down. He's able. God is able. He made water stand on its end and walls 8 feet thick fall down. At his word, he breathed into being creation. He is able and he is good. He is able and he is good. But, oh man, but we have to accept. We have to accept the word. You and me have to devote ourselves to it. We have to remember it continually. And we have to enact it. I'll say this. On the days that I stop my morning routine or many other little things, I start to find I don't really want to do them. I come now found, my heart begins to wander, and I fall away, and I don't even want to do it anymore. How you stop is by training your heart again, coming back to Jesus. This is what it means to repent, right? It doesn't mean guy with a sandwich board and a loudspeaker. What it means to repent is to pull a 180. To believe means to yield to God. To believe means to act. We devote ourselves to this. We're going to move to a time of communion and truly act out our faith right now. That's what this is. Right? Jesus said, as often as you take this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we are going to proclaim the visual gospel. As we come to remember what Jesus said on the night when he was betrayed, we are going to devote ourselves to this, and we're going to continually remember. But I want to encourage you to also take this beyond maybe what has become a ritual for you into an inspirational moment and a reminder of what the gospel is. These elements in front of me are the visual gospel, and we'll receive them together, but I want to encourage you right now. So just before your mind starts switching into transition mode, just pause. I want to encourage you to take this message with you. Okay, accept the word planted in you. So if you have your phone, if you have a smartphone, grab your smartphone. Would you do that? You don't have to. You can do it with me if you want. Go to your reminders app, okay? This is super practical, but I need to show you that we have to do this habitually. We have to, again, train our hearts. And I want you to just write in there, read James 1. And then just set it for every day, okay? Remind me every day. Repeat every day. Done. I want you to continually remind yourself. Continually remind yourself. And then when you read this stuff, enact it. People of God, you're equipped. You're equipped to be the people of God. You're ready to go. You have the Spirit of God and you have the Word of God. You have the encouragement of the church. You have your family around you. Imagine what would happen to this church if we started, like, took a year just lived out a chapter of the Bible. We would wreck the world. They wouldn't know what to do with you. That's what happened to 12 apostles. Remember it every day. Live out the gospel Christ has given you. I want to read for you a prayer from Philippians. Paul for his church. And I'll welcome Dave to come up after, lead us in the Lord's Supper together. And this is my prayer for you, Calvary Baptist Church, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Amen. Peace be with you guys today. Thank you.